Let's talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. The Cats lose to the South Carolina Gamecocks on the road. We'll also break down the Arkansas game upcoming on today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash. Carson, I was a little worried about you. After the game, I went to check on Carson. And, you know, I went to, and he wouldn't answer his doors. You know, this is, of course, Tuesday night. So I break in and open your room, and you're laying with a candle lit listening to Only Love Can Hurt Like This. So how are you doing?
I think that's the craziest story I've ever heard.
It happened. I was there.
This is a not true story. Very fictional. But I'm doing better today. Of course, that loss did not feel good. It felt like all systems failure from the jump, honestly. We didn't even seem to look good at all. It was very uncharacteristic of this team and something that I frankly didn't expect to happen at all during this season. So it definitely was a bummer.
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, 79-62 loss to the Gamecocks on the road. A team averaging 90 points a game. So let's have this conversation. We'll start with this. I have written this a ton. I've discussed this a ton. My thought about this team was, for a while, I had talked myself into, you know, eventually the defense is going to slow down. Eventually the offense is going to have a bad game. And if the defense continues to play how it does, Kentucky will not win. That was my thought like 2 weeks ago. And then they just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. And I talked myself into, well, you know what? I mean, here's the deal. If they're giving up 80 points, but they score 90 a game, who cares? You know, I mean, obviously we'd love to have the better defense, but if you keep scoring like that, it might not matter. I talked myself into that, but I still knew in the back of my head, if this team has a bad shooting night, they will lose. But then after the Mississippi State game, whose Mississippi State's defense statistically is much better than South Carolina's, I was kind of like, nobody's stopping this team. And then what my concern was happened. Bad offensive night. The defense allows as many points as it pretty much has been, and Kentucky loses by a wide margin on the road. Carson, thoughts on that?
It kind of felt like the freshmen started to be freshmen. It felt like we were a little scared going into that environment. We didn't live up to the physicality of the game. It was very slow paced, a lot of fouls called, but that's how they wanted the game played. Yeah. They wanted to muck it up and wanted to slow us down, and we should have been able to move the ball better and figure it out, but we couldn't.
I think what's so frustrating as well, and it needs to be a conversation. I wrote it at Wildcats Today, but at what point, Carson, should we be concerned about this team playing away from Rupp? Now, let me add the caveat. You don't play true road games in March. And I wrote this exact, you know, couple sentences in that article. I said, listen, nobody travels better than BBN. It is the best fan base in college basketball. I mean, we all know that. This fan base travels extremely well, which will make pretty much every game you play away from Rupp Arena in March and hopefully April feel like a home game. But right now, when you go to South Carolina, and listen, I saw some blue in the stands, but still it's going to be hard to really out-yell those rowdy Gamecocks and, you know, these rowdy Razorbacks on Saturday. What are you concerned, Carson? Because here's the deal. The Cats are now 1-2 away from Rupp Arena with a win over Florida, a narrow win over Florida, and losses to South Carolina and Texas A&M. Are you concerned? Because I am.
Honestly, I'm not too concerned. And I know that might be crazy to say, but I think this team's built to win on the road. It hasn't showed right now. And I think that might be because of a matchup difference in those two games. I think that had more of a factor than just being on the road, because I think this team has winners on it, which we haven't had in a while, like DJ, Rob. I just feel like those guys aren't going to get fazed by that environment. And I mean, Rob showed some skills, but Rob looked good when the whole team didn't look good. Also, so did Trey Mitchell. He took over for a little bit too. Those were the only two upsides I took from the game. But it was ugly, and I think it was more of a matchup issue than a road environment issue, because if you don't get up to play in those environments, you're not going to be lasting very long in any sort of sports at all. So that's my takeaway from it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I want to make a point. Did you catch any of the Auburn-Alabama game?
No, I did see. I did see a Twitter video of Johnny Broome hitting a three when the lights were out, though.
Yeah, that was funny. But I watched a little bit of that game, and Auburn was down. The reason I turned it on, Auburn was down at halftime, and what we do, Carson, I want to get a feel for these SEC teams. So I was like, I'm going to turn that ball game on. Should be, and just to see. What is Auburn? Are they any good? Can they hang? Because they were in the same kind of spot Kentucky was. They were down at half, and I was like, are they going to go away or are they going to fight? And they fought, and I was pretty impressed with that. And what frustrated me was watching that, and Auburn ended up losing that game, but they fought back from a big deficit. And it frustrated me that Kentucky – I mean, they fought. You know, they came out of halftime. They made a couple buckets. It seemed like they could get it to four, but they couldn't get it to two. Every time they get to four, South Carolina go on a 4-0, 6-0 run and kind of stretch it back out until they eventually stretch it out wide. Now, I'm not saying this team has a heart issue. No, they don't. That's not what I'm saying. But it was a little frustrating to see them down big at half and not be able to work more back into that ball game, kind of like we saw against Florida. Not really a long-term concern there, but it was something, you know, I kind of pay attention to. I was just a little frustrated that they didn't make that tighter than it was.
Yeah. I would probably like to add, I know I didn't watch any of the game, but I would say it's something definitely to look into a little bit, but I would say the pace of play was different in both games just based off the teams. Yeah. I think South Carolina's whole game plan was to slow it down, and Bama's a team that'll go out there and kind of like us, they'll just shoot until they can't anymore.
Yeah.
And so if they're missing, it's probably easier to get back into the game instead of South Carolina taking 30 seconds off the play.
That's a good point. Time. That is a really good point. I'm with you on that. That's my thoughts there. It's frustrating, ladies and gentlemen, so we actually had a South Carolina fan come in the comments of our video breaking down this game where we thought they were going to win. And I think most people thought Kentucky would win and kind of said, like, you know, South Carolina fan wasn't being rude by any means, but, you know, was kind of saying some things. I bet you all learned a lesson about your team and yada, yada. And I kind of was told you, Carson, I was like, I think we knew everything that happened in that game. We knew. If Kentucky has a bad offensive day, which is going to happen, it's part of basketball, they're going to lose because of their poor defense. And that is exactly why it is so important for this defense to get better in March. This is my argument. You know, I always wonder, why do you have to be a top 20? That number, it's like top 40 in offense and top 20 in defense and KenPom to win the
game.
I think the reason that matters, and some might say, well, that's just a coincidence. I do think it matters. You have to win six games to win a national championship in a row. And if you, in one of those ball games, aren't shooting the ball well, something's got to keep you in the game. And it has to be defense. A good defense can keep you in a game until you're making your shots. And that is my concern. I think that Kentucky needs that, because can they score 90 points a game and go on a run in the national championship? Yeah, but it's just hard to not have one day where you don't shoot the ball well. And on a day like that, you need defense to keep you around until you are making shots. So, I mean, it sounds like we're beating the drum, ladies and gentlemen, but at the end of the day, the offense isn't a problem. I know they had a bad night against South Carolina, but I'm not concerned about Kentucky scoring. I'm concerned about Kentucky stopping opponents. And until that's fixed, I'm really starting to get worried that what could be a special basketball team could exit a little bit early if it doesn't get figured out.
Yeah. So when you were talking about top 20 offense and top 40 defense on KenPom, most people look at that and that's how they determine who they think is going to be in the Final Four or win the national championship. And most of the numbers they grab are from previous teams that have won. And they're like, oh, this team was a top 20 offensive team. And like Kansas, they're top 20, top 40. But sometimes that's skewed because they have to win six games in a row to win the national championship. So, of course, your numbers are going to be better during that stretch. It really just comes down to, and I like where we're at. I think I believe in this. I think our defense can get better, but I would love to have a better offense than defense going into the tournament, because people say defense wins championships, but the best offense in the NCAA and a decent defense will get you to the Final Four and could win you a national championship, in my opinion.
I'm with you on that. Carson, we got to take a little break and have a different conversation. I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is getting up at 6 a.m. to go to work fun?
It's not, no, not the most fun.
You're right. Is there anything that you could maybe do in the morning that makes getting up in the morning not as bad?
Yeah, I get up and have a cup of Joe every morning.
It's pretty simple, ladies and gentlemen. It is pretty simple to understand what makes a morning better, and that is coffee. Carson, can you function without coffee? Because no. I cannot. Can you?
No, precisely. I would want to get back in bed.
Precisely. We all need coffee. We all need to drink coffee, and there is no better coffee than Plains Coffee Company. They serve a ton of different types of coffees that you're sure to love. It's all online, easy checkout, and it ships right to your door. All beans are roasted the day before shipping, so you're guaranteed fresh coffee right to your mailbox or doorstep. And listen, some folks aren't fans of coffee. And if you aren't a fan of coffee, there's people out there, I get it. They also have outstanding tea. All the products, you know, here's the deal. I know my mom doesn't drink coffee. My mom loves tea. That's what she has to get her going in the morning. I'm a coffee guy. I'm also a tea guy. I've had both. It's all amazing stuff. I highly recommend going to check out Plains Coffee Company. You can go to plainscoffee.com. That's P-L-A-I-N-S coffee.com. Listeners and viewers of this show can get 10% off your order by using promo code Wildcats when you check out. Once again, promo code Wildcats for 10% off at plainscoffee.com. Promise you will not regret stopping in over there. So back to this game, Carson. You know, I think that really there's not much to break down on this one. It's a simple ball game. They Kentucky didn't shoot the ball well. What were we from three again? I'll have it up for you in 10 seconds. Hold on. But we did not shoot the ball well from deep. There's no debate to that. 4 of 13. I can't believe we only shot 13. But that 4 of 13, you know, this team is a better shooting team than that. And the defense, what continues to frustrate me is how players – there's always somebody open. I get that we're trying to help, but you have to know if you're helping that if the ball's kicked, you have to be able to crash. You have to know that. And it seems like a lot of times that's what leads to open threes is we'll have one of our players crash to help down low. And then that person down low will go in and out, kick the ball out to an open three-point shooter. And it seems like they're falling almost every time. They're making open shots. You know, a lot of teams, here's the deal. I mean, a lot of people don't make open shots, even at Division I level. I mean, it's reality. It seems like a lot of folks are hitting open shots against the Cats right now, which they should be. If you're a Division I basketball player, you should be making open shots. That defensively frustrates me, and I think that the ability of players to, if they're not going to kick it out, to just flat out get to the rim and score is extremely frustrating. So, I mean, Carson, defensively, what can this team do?
Yeah, so something that really stuck out to me in that game was there was a possession in the second half when DJ had gotten lost from his man and he was trying to play catch up and he got lost and Trey Mitchell literally grabbed him and hugged him and threw him out to guard his man. And if that doesn't tell you anything, I don't know what does. It just seems like we're a little lost out there. We don't really know what we're doing. And honestly, that it's got to change and it's got to be harped on at practice and you have to know what you're doing or we're just going to have to go to a zone. If we can't play man defense, you're going to have to go to a zone because you can't be getting beat every single time.
That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, you can sit here and say it, but it just ain't going to happen. Coach Cal won't do it. I just don't believe he'll do it. I'd like to be wrong. Have we played a possession of zone in his entire career?
a couple times, but I feel like it never works. And then as soon as it doesn't work, he's just like, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
But offensively, I wanted to say that it was our worst performance of the season by far. And I think a lot that attributed to that was passing. It looked like we were going one-on-one almost every possession. And it seemed like that was so weird. We haven't done this all year long.
It didn't look like the team we watch every day.
It looked like they didn't share the ball. And somewhat of it, you know, people are getting mad. And it's rightfully so. Reed Sheppard only had 15 minutes, and I feel like he should play more. I feel like we need to break the rotation down to 8 men and just live like that. I think Kyle's trying to play. I think Kyle's trying to play too many people, and it's not working right now.
So who do you cut out if you go down to 8?
Well, I think as of right now, I think my rotation, or at least my starting 5, would be DJ. I like DJ in there. I like Reed. I want Reed to start just because he's good at everything. Uh-huh. I think Reeves should be the 3. And I think Mitchell, and I think Z should start. I think Z gives you the skill that most people don't have. And then I think the other 3 are, of course, Rob. Oh gosh, I'm losing my train of thought.
Ugana,
Rob, Aaron Bradshaw, and
Adu.
And Adu. Yeah.
So you want to cut Ugo out? Like, in the world, you would cut Ugo out.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay, so I think those 8 should play the majority of the minutes. I'm not saying to completely cut out the other guys. I just think that in a perfect world, that lineup wins you more games than it'll lose you. And I think that lineup's the best for when it comes down to March. Of course, you're going to have to play Bradshaw and Ugo minutes.
Yeah,
when it comes down to it. And I thought Bradshaw honestly didn't look terrible against South Carolina. He rebounded pretty well. And so me saying that's kind of like a backhand to him. But
yeah,
I just think Z is more physically ready and more gifted. Bradshaw is more of like a catch and dunk guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he can shoot it too, but he has to be set. I feel like he's just more fluid. And I think those are the 8 guys I would go with in the future. And hopefully, now there's been some speculation, but hopefully Adu plays tomorrow and he's healthy, because that would help a lot. It would help defensively, and I think it would help offensively as well.
No question. No question there. And you know, speaking on Z, I've seen a lot of people – folks, listen, okay? You got to chill. You know what I mean? I mean, what he did – now, did you and I get on the hype train the other day? Of course we did. You can't not. But
you can't watch that and not see how skilled he is.
Exactly. What he did against Georgia, I don't know. It was incredible. I mean, because it wasn't like he scored 25 points, but he did everything. Blocks, steals, rebounds, made threes, dunked, looked great dribbling the basketball. Against South Carolina, ladies and gentlemen, he played 10 minutes. Okay, he played 10 minutes. He was 1 for 3. One of the missed baskets was a 3-point attempt that was literally like touching nylon
in the bucket.
Yeah,
it was just one of those nights, also, you know.
Yeah, and it was over top of somebody. I mean, it was hand in his face, and it was a beautiful shot. Grabs 2 rebounds, 3 points. He did some good thing. Now he did some things. He took one shot, and it was funny because you can tell when Cal's mad. Because when someone does something, you're like, I wonder if that pissed off Coach Cal. You'll see someone run to go check in. And Z took one shot. It was the other field goal he missed, where I was just like, what the heck are you
doing? The air ball?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, not saying that he is the best player in the world or he's perfect, but he does a lot well. It was his second game. He didn't really get to get settled in because it was, you know, it was a weird game. You were down. You didn't play a ton of minutes. I'm not worried about Big Z. This is one of those, to me, it's the eyeball test, and he passes it. The way he can spin and dribble and shoot and rebound and dunk and block shots and steal inbound passes, nobody can do what he can do. And so, no, I'm not concerned about Big Z, frankly. And then, yeah, he got absolutely crammed on. That did happen. There's no denying that. It was kind of like back when we were in high school, Carson, and you dunked on me and I like walked back all the way to my house because I was angry. That's what that was like. Was that you or AJ that dunked on me? Or was it you?
It was me.
I don't know why I shared that publicly, but point is, Big Z is going to be a great player. Nothing I saw. Did he make some silly mistakes? Yes, he made some silly mistakes in the great game. You know what I mean? He's going to figure it out. I'm not worried about Big Z. I still, frankly, I'm going to be honest with you, and some might say I'm crazy. Watching him play against South Carolina confirmed my opinions that I think he's going to be great just because of the eye test of the way he looks dribbling that basketball, handling the basketball. He's so fluid. He's going to be a star in the NBA. I'm willing to call that right now. So, Carson, thoughts on Big Z?
Yeah, there's a reason why after his first game he was a projected top 10 pick. Yeah. I mean, we're just not making stuff up here. We're not just getting on the hype train just because we want him to be great. There's national media out there that are projecting him top 10 in the NBA draft. So clearly there's something special they see in him as well. And yeah, it wasn't the best game for him in South Carolina, but you got to think he also has to develop chemistry with this team as well. He had to miss practices. He missed games. Sick,
you know,
it's a lot of time to make up, and you really have to click for this team to show his strengths. Like I just think we're on the cusp of something great with him, and he's just got to keep playing. Because also he got dunked on, but I would darn sure rather him go up and try to block it than just let the kid dunk. Yeah. And he impacted the game with a couple blocks early too. So, and I don't see anything wrong with that game. The three went in and out. It was just one of those nights. We really weren't hitting anything outside of Rob Dillingham, but I'm not worried about Big Z at all. And I don't think many should be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do. Carson, before we move on to talk about those dang hogs, do you have anything else to say about this painful loss, or are you ready to put it behind us and move on?
Yeah, I think you just have to put it behind you. Like, don't watch the tape. Just get rid of the tape. All systems failure happened. You just got to learn from it. It's a lesson. You got to have a chip on your shoulder now, and you got to win. I think you have to win every home game, and you have to win a couple more road games to feel solid about the season and have a chance to win the SEC. Because I also think you gotta look outside of the SEC, even in the SEC, teams lose on the road. Kansas did twice.
Yeah.
They lost to West Virginia, which was a quad three loss. Like, our loss was a quad one. So they lost, Auburn lost, Arizona lost. It's hard to win on the road in college basketball.
Everybody,
a lot of parity.
Cameron, our buddy Cameron, told me a stat today that, and I forget what it was. I wish he was here so I could ask him, but it basically, like, it was the percentage of top 25 teams going on the road right now, and they're like well under 500 against unranked teams on the road. I mean, this is legit, folks. It's not easy to win on the road in college, not just the SEC, in college basketball. And I want to make a bold statement, Carson, and I want you to buy or sell what I'm saying. Let me ask you the question, because I want you to sound silly if you think I'm great. How many losses does the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament have? What's your number right now? The number one team is Houston. They have two losses. How many? And they're in the Big 12 now, remember? So they're playing some serious teams. So the number one overall seed, how many losses do they have? Give me a number.
Gosh, Houston has two. You said
two, and they have to play the Big 12. It's no longer, you know, they're no longer playing not great teams and getting easy past pathway.
I'm going to say five.
That's what I was going to say.
I think the number one team has five. But I'll also give you this. I don't think the number one team is going to be Houston.
That's fair. I was just I don't completely disagree with you. I was just saying that because they are right now. I think five as well. And Kentucky's got four. Listen, Kentucky's didn't lose another game in the SEC. Let's just be honest. They might lose two more. I would love for Kentucky to end the season with six losses. So, I mean, you got two more. I'd love for that to be the reality.
That would get you a two seed, maybe even a one, depending on how other teams do and which games you win and lose. So,
Carson, I got a question for you, and it's going to make us go way long, but I really don't care. I saw someone put this on Twitter. It was a Twitter debate, and the comments were all one way, and I disagree, and I want to see where your head's at. What would you rather win, the SEC regular season title or the SEC tournament title?
Regular season every time.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody said the tournament, the SEC tournament. The argument now, I get the argument. And this is a great, once again, those of you listeners that are on the other side of this, I'm not saying you're wrong, because it's an opinion. And you can really go either way. But to me, regular season means that you sustain success for 18 games. The tournament means you got hot for a couple. Now, the team that wins the regular season could also win the tournament. And you know what, yeah. I mean? What I'm saying is, or a random Texas A&M can get hot like we saw a couple years ago. That stuff can happen. So I think winning the regular season shows that you were able to sustain success for an 18-game season within a season. That's where I stand. Do you agree with me on that? This doesn't have to be a long conversation.
I agree with you, too, and I want to make this point. So I honestly don't think it's a terrible thing to lose as long as it's in, like, the tournament final. Like, look back at our 2012 season. We had a great year. We lost, like, three games, I think. One of those games was to – or, no, maybe we lost two. One of those games was to Vandy, and that was the SEC championship. And we went on to win the national championship. I honestly don't hate losing there, because then you get a regroup, and instead of being on a like an 8-game win streak coming into the tournament, you're on a loss and you have something to be mad about and to prove. So I would love to win it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I would love to, and I'm probably going to be down in Nashville watching it. So I would love to win it.
You're coming with me, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're taking Nashville by storm, brother. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
But I would love to win it, but regular season's way more important to me. It shows who the best team really is, in my opinion. And now sometimes it can get iffy because the schedules, and some teams have to go on the road to play the harder teams. Like, sometimes it can be a little weird. But in most years, the best team is the team who wins the regular season.
So let me ask you a kind of a question off that. And I think that there's a flip side to that. In that flip side to me, in recent SEC history, can you think of a team that kind of that took the path of getting hot and made a run? Where does your head go there?
Probably Auburn.
Yeah, 2019 Auburn. Was that the year they beat Kentucky? That was the year they beat us in the final in the Elite Eight.
In the Elite Eight.
That team, they got hot. They won the SEC tournament, and they never got cold until they lost to somebody in the Final Four. I don't even remember if I watched that game, but they lost Virginia in the final. Oh, yeah. Must have been
Virginia. Yeah, it was a good game. I'm glad Virginia won.
Yeah. I don't remember much about it, but you know, I think that can be a blueprint too to the flip side of it. And honestly, I think you could see Kentucky being a somewhat similar team to that Auburn team. I just remember them shooting the ball really well.
Yeah.
And you can get, I mean, here's the deal, Kentucky's going to make the NCAA tournament. We know that. If they don't play as well as we hope in SEC play and kind of stumble into the tournament a little bit, and then, hey, the threes start falling, the team's playing well, and they go on a run, it can happen. So that's why there's arguments to both sides of this. But
that's what my point was earlier. And like, you want to have the best offense and a decent defense, because that Auburn team, their defense was not great. It was not a great defense. Exactly. They got hot because their guards were awesome. Yeah. They had some fantastic guards. And that's what this team has right here. And guards carry in March. Look at what Kimball Walker did. Look at what the Harrison twins did as low-ranked seeds. It's guards, guards, guards in March.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. But that's a good question. So let's just – we're not going to break down this Arkansas game a ton, in all honesty, because I just – let's run through the numbers, and Carson, you tell me where your head's at. So Arkansas is 106th in KenPom, which is insane knowing what they were supposed to be coming into the season. They were, I mean, I 4 months ago, I would have been like shaking at the bone breaking down this game going to Bud Walton. You know, I mean, they're 106th in KenPom, 120th in adjusted offense, 109th in adjusted defense. They are 126th in net, which is a little scary. And I'll tell you why, because that means this is, if the Cats get the win, this is a quad two win. It's a quad two win or a loss, obviously. But let's say you somehow lose this game and then Arkansas loses four in a row. This could fall down to a quad three loss. This is a must-win game. And it's funny because it's a must-win game. I talk about college baseball some. It's like when you get close to the tournament and you're playing those the awful teams in the midweek. You know, you're playing Morehead State or whatever. And if you lose to them, it really can kill your chances of some different things. It's how it is here. I mean, if you lose to this team, even though it's an SEC team on the road, and it, if this turns into a quad three loss, it really hurts you. So it's a must-win game. I assume it'll stay a quad two win. I still think this Arkansas team will figure it out a little bit. I don't think they'll make the tournament, but I think they'll figure it out and annoy some people and win some games they maybe shouldn't down the stretch. But so those are the numbers there. What they're good at, they shoot or they are third in college hoops in blocking 6.6 shots a game. That's something to remember. Carson, I'll let you say your thoughts on that. But injury updates on the Razorbacks. Trevon Brazil, the forward, he's a really good basketball player. He went down with a knee injury against Ole Miss, didn't play the second half. Coach Musselman in this press conference said he is a game-time decision, but it's going to take like a pack of Badgers to keep him off the court is what it sounds like, because he dude wants to play. I think that one's 50-50. And then their leading scorer, Tremont Mark, once again, another really good basketball player who is averaging, let me give you the number, 17.8 points per game, missed last game with migraines, and Coach Musselman kind of didn't really comment. I mean, I'm not a person who gets migraines. I know that they're not fun, but I don't know how it would last. I don't know anything about it, but all I know is Coach Musselman hasn't come out and said, yeah, he's playing. So if you're without those two guys, my confidence in winning this game on the road goes from very confident to very confidenter, you know? So thoughts on this one, Carson?
Yeah. So it definitely is a must-win game, and yeah, you can't have it. You can't lose it. And then they end up falling apart because of either injuries or they just stay down a bad path, because then it's a quad three with a Wilmington loss too. Yeah. It's horrible. It's a bad look. It'll hurt you. It'll drop you probably down to like a sixth seed, which is, you can't be there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a must-win game, and I honestly think it's a must-win by 10-plus points. I think we need to show and prove that we can keep them from scoring and score ourselves. So it's definitely a must-win. You mentioned they block a lot of shots. They're a very athletic team, especially if Brazil's playing. He's 6'10", and he can jump out of the gym. He's known for a lot of highlight dunks. So he will be an issue if he is playing. But we need DJ to get in the lane and maybe cause him to pump fake and then wrap it around easy dunks. You know, you gotta, what really needs to come to fruition is DJ need, that also was what hurt us last game, and I didn't mention DJ wasn't really beating his guy off the dribble like he did every single game before. I don't know if something was wrong, if their defense was better, if their game plan was better, but DJ has to beat his guy off the dribble, and that results in extra passes and open three-pointers. And when you're open, blocks won't matter. So those are my takes on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think if those guys don't play, once again, I feel really good about this game. I think that Kentucky wins regardless, but I think that not having those guys could take a lot of the scare, you know, away from this one. Still, ladies and gentlemen, it's still Bud Walton. And I know Kentucky, you know, it's a place that Cats have done okay, but it's just a scary place to play in the SEC. It's a rowdy environment. What'll be interesting is how is that fan base? How are they? Now, I know Kentucky's coming to town, but still, it's hard to have supposed to have been one of the best teams in college hoops, one of the best teams in the SEC, and then just flat out not be good. You know, for a fan base, it's hard for a fan base to stay bought in. So what that atmosphere looks like will be interesting. I'm curious to know. But, yeah, I think the Cats win this one. I do. So, Carson, give me a score prediction. Give me a MVP of the game. I will give you the same, and we will call it a day.
Yeah, I think we bounce back. I don't think that they have enough size. What really steers this team away from what it normally does is physicality and big guys. So, their heaviest player is 220, so that shouldn't be an issue. Or heaviest player that plays substantial minutes. But – that shouldn't be an issue in this one. I think the Cats get the win. I think they get back right. I think they start moving the ball more, and I think they play as a unit. And I'm going to make a prediction. I think Adu plays. I think Adu plays tomorrow. I think it's crucial that he does. I think the Cats win 91-71. I think it's going to be a 20-point win. I think the Cats are going to do it. I think We look a lot better. I think we look motivated. I've heard things from practice that Cal is not very happy with how they're playing right now. So
I
think they bounce back. I think the MVP is going to be Reeves. You know, Reeves owns that place. It's his arena.
He has a key, actually. He has a key that gets him in.
Yeah, he has a key. He's allowed in after hours. Yes. But I think Reeves continues his dominance there, and the Cats pull off the win.
When you said 91 and then 70, I was like, are we about to say the same score? I have 91-78. But okay. I think it's going to be a game where obviously that margin is only 13 points. But I think it's one of those games where, like, it's never in doubt in the second half. Like, Kentucky's up 15, 11, 16, 13, 14. You know what I mean? It's kind of like
one of those boring games that never really either goes one way or the other.
And I'm going to make a prediction. And it has to do with my main man, Dickie V, Dick Vitale. Did you see his tweet, Carson?
Dickie P.
Wrote about
this. No, I did not see his tweet.
He tweeted. Well, let me actually, let's read it because it's a good tweet. And it's actually.
It's a dandy.
Oh, but it's worth bringing up. Let me find it. When did he say that?
What was that?
That was an audible noise I just made. Where did he say this? He was talking about.
Was he talking about?
I found it. Okay. Reed Shepherd at Kentucky Men's Basketball. Many will say is the best shooter in the nation. Check out the number of shots in his last five games. Not more than four a game. To me, he should get a minimum of 10 shots per game. Reed is so, in all caps, unselfish with an exclamation point. Reed, my man, shoot the rock. No one's going to yell at you. Shoot the rock. I think Reed Shepherd has a good game. You know, and it's funny. His plus minus, Reed is not playing bad basketball. He's playing unselfish basketball, which is leading to not a ton of stats. You know, assists and a good plus minus. But I'm telling you right now, he could score 15 a night if he'd shoot the ball. So, Reed, shoot the rock.
The whole world's
behind you, buddy. Shoot the rock. If you miss a couple, keep shooting. I'm tired of looking at him pass up an open shot because somebody else is open in the corner. We want you to shoot it. We want you to shoot the open shot, not somebody else. We want you to shoot it, Reed, because you're the best shooter in possibly all of college basketball. So I think Reed Shepherd has a good game. I think the Cats win this one 91-78. Carson, anything else?
No, that's all I had. I hope the Cats get bounced back, and I hope it continues, and I hope we start a hot streak because we really need it. And listen, guys, this is one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah,
it is. We still have that spark. We can't give up on the guys now. You can't give up on them after one bad game. It happens. It's college basketball. There's parity. There's a lot of parity in college basketball right now, especially with players playing 6 years, you know, all that. And we got young guys, you know, we got 18-year-olds playing against 25-year-olds. It's a big difference. So hang with the guys. They're going to do something special. I know they are.
I agree with you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for today. We will come back to you on Monday to hopefully break down a Kentucky win over Arkansas and talk about the Cats matchup with the Florida Gators, which is coming up Wednesday, January 31st. Big week next week, Carson. You got Tennessee in Rupp Arena, which is going to be utterly electric. I can't wait for that one.
I can't wait for that one either.
The Florida Gators at home. So, big week next week, but you got to win this one to get excited about, you know, let's win this one and then worry about next week. So we will break down this Arkansas, like I said, hopefully win on Monday and preview the Florida game. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy some playoff football. Enjoy the Cats game tomorrow. Thank you all so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. It really means a lot. Also, the show is going to be coming to podcast platforms. We will keep y'all updated on that, but it's going to be huge. We'll be free and available wherever y'all get your podcasts. And, of course, on YouTube. I'll keep you updated on that. Everybody have a great weekend, and go Cats.